Near the beetle stood Liver Spots. He wore the same coat, the same broad-brimmed hat, the same sour expression on his wrinkled, spotted face. His fine white hair drifted around in every tiny bit of moving air, wherever it wasn't wet from the rain. I studied him for a minute. He was a good 2 or 3 inches under average height. His features seemed familiar, I was certain, but I couldn't place them. It bothered me, a lot, but this was no time to start entertaining uncertainties. Butters lay curled in a fetal position on the muddy, wet gravel at Liverspot's feet. He was breathing hard and fast, and his eyes stared sightlessly forward. Liverspots gestured curtly at Butters. In reply, I held up the copy of the numbers, then slipped it back in my pocket. "Put him in the car," I told Liverspots.
"Do it yourself,"
the man responded, his voice rough, harsh. Mouse focused on Liverspots and let out a low, rumbling growl. I narrowed my eyes at him, but said, "Thomas?" Thomas sheathed the sword and picked up Butters like a small child, his eyes on Liverspots. He came back to the car, and Mouse and I watched Liverspots closely the whole while. "Put him in the back," I said. Thomas opened the door and set Butters in the back seat. The little guy leaned his head against the wall and sat all curled up. You could have fit him into a paper grocery sack. "Mouse," I said, "in." Mouse prowled into the back seat and sat leaning against Butters, serious dark eyes never leaving Liverspots. "All right," I said, passing the shotgun to Thomas. "It works like this. Thomas, you get in the back. Spots, you're riding shotgun. And when I say riding shotgun, I mean that Thomas is going to shove it up your ass and pull the trigger if you try anything funny." He stared at me, eyes flat. "Do you understand me?" I said. He nodded, eyes narrowed. "Say it," I told him. Raw hatred dripped from his words.
"I understand you."
"Good," I said. "Get in." Liverspots walked toward the car. He had to step around me to get to the passenger's side door, and when he drew even with me, he suddenly stopped and stared at me. There was a puzzled frown on his face. He stayed that way for a second, looking at me from soles to scalp. "What?" I demanded.
"Where is it?" he said.
He sounded as if he were speaking for his own benefit rather than for mine.
"Why isn't it here?"
"I've had a long day," I told him. "Shut your mouth and get in the car." For a second, I saw his eyes, and at my words, they suddenly burned with a manic loathing and scorn. I could see, quite clearly, that Liverspots wanted me dead. There wasn't anything rational or calm about it. He wanted to hurt me, and he wanted me to die. It was written in his eyes so strongly that it might as well have been tattooed across his face. I needed no soul gaze, no magic to recognize murderous hate when I saw it. And he still looked familiar, though for the life of me, maybe literally, I couldn't remember from where. I avoided his eyes in time to avert a soul gaze of my own and said, "Get into the car." He said,
"I'm going to kill you. Perhaps not tonight, but soon. I'm going to see you die."
"You'll have to wait in line, Spots," I told him. "I hear the only tickets left are in general admission." He narrowed his eyes and began to speak. Mouse let out a sudden, warning snarl. I tensed, watching Liverspots, but he did the same thing I did. He flinched and then looked warily around. When his eyes got to a spot behind me, they widened. Thomas had the shotgun on him, so I turned from Liverspots and looked for myself. From the rain and the dark came a rising cloud of light. It drew nearer with unsettling speed, and after only a few speeding heartbeats, I could see what made the light. They were ghosts. Surrounded in a sickly greenish glow, a company of Civil War-era cavalry rushed toward us, dozens of them. There should have been a rumble of thundering hooves accompanying them, but there was only a distant and pale sound of a running herd. The riders wore broad-brimmed Union hats and jackets that looked black rather than blue in the sickly light, and bore pistols and sabers in their semi-transparent hands. One of the lead riders lifted a trumpet to his lips as he rode, and ghostly strains of the cavalry charge drifted through the night air. Behind them, mounted on phantom horses that looked as if they'd been drowned, were Li Xian and the corpse taker. The ghoul wore a tom-tom drum at his side, held in place by a heavy leather belt draped sideways from one shoulder. While he rode, he beat out a staccato military rhythm on it with one hand, and it sounded somehow primitive and wild. The corpse taker had changed into clothes made of heavy biker leather, complete with a chain gauntlet and spiked fighting bracers on her forearms. She wore a curved sword on her belt, a heavy tulwar that looked ugly and murderous. As she came closer, she sent her ghostly steed racing to the head of the troop and drew her blade. She spun it over her head, laughing in wild abandon, and bore straight down upon us.
"Treachery!" howled Liverspots. "We are betrayed!"
Gravain appeared in the mist from among the motionless zombies. He stared at the oncoming corpse taker and let out a howl of rage. He raised his hands, and every zombie in sight abruptly stiffened and then broke into a charge.
"Kill them!"
Gravain howled. Actual literal foam formed at the corners of his mouth, and his eyes burned beneath the brim of the fedora.
"Kill them all!"
Liverspots whirled toward me, producing a tiny pistol from somewhere in his sleeve, a derringer. From the size of it, it couldn't have held a very heavy bullet, but he wouldn't need it to be heavy to kill me at this range. I dove back and to my right, trying to get the car between Liverspots and me. There was a startling popping sound and a flash of light. I hit the muddy gravel hard. Liverspots came around the car after me, evidently determined to use the second bullet in the pistol. Thomas didn't have time to get out of the car. There was a sudden explosion, and my windshield blew outward in a cloud of shot and shattered glass. Both tore into Liverspots, and he stumbled and went down. I lifted my staff in my good hand and brought it down hard on his wrist. There was a brittle snapping sound, and the little gun flew from his grasp. He went into an utter rage. Before I knew what was happening, Liverspots had thrown himself on top of me and had both of his hands fastened on my throat. I felt him shut off my airway and struggled against him. It didn't do much good. The old man seemed filled with maddened strength.